Hey, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Glad you could join me today. This one is kind of due to popular demand, if I can describe it as such. People watch me on the television show, or they see me in the field, or whatever, or at a talk, or something like that. And they always want to know what kind of vest and what's in it. Well, today I'll address the second issue. What do I carry? You know, kind of the sort of the American Express card of hunting vests. What's in there? What I wouldn't leave home without. So stick around for that. Also, of course, as usual, some suggestions on where to go for some public access hunting, a dog handling tip, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff as well. So stick around for the Upland Nation podcast. Thank all of our sponsors. They give us the time and resources to bring you this podcast, including our friends at Cabela's, who outfit the team here and make everything possible. How's your training going? How's your summer going? Flick is making progress by the day. By the way, happy birthday, Flick. He turned 3 years old this week. Still acting like a big fuzzy-faced puppy, and that's the best part. Don't you love it? You know, it used to be that I thought just German dogs were perpetually puppies, but, you know, you say that to somebody with a setter or with a cocker or with a Labrador, and they'll tell you that theirs are the same way, and maybe yours is too. If your dog is celebrating, even if he is not celebrating a birthday, give him a hug for me. Good dog. We're doing lots of water work on the Facebook page, it looks like. Everybody out there, now that the water has warmed and the weather has too, we're working here on stopping to the sight of birds while laying out plans for the fall, as usual. Been trying to go fishing once in a while, but seems like every time I can break free, Mother Nature says, no, get back in the office and do a podcast, which I do not mind at all. Okay, we're going to get to my vest and what's in it in just a moment. First, a quick reminder from Sage and Breaker Mercantile. Learn more about them at sageandbreaker.com. Gun care products crafted at the highest caliber. Those cleaning chamois I talked about last week are flying off the shelves, but they got a big supply, so check it out. Find out why a cleaning chamois from Sage and Breaker is so much better than that old t-shirt you're using. And by the way, take that shirt off before you use it. And dogtra.com, where you learn all about the T&B dual collar. That is my collar of choice when I'm working with Flick on that steadiness and stopping to sight. And it works. Dogtra.com is where you learn more about all of that and all the packages and discounts, bundles, and freebies you can get along with it. So, let's get started. So some of you know this, most of you don't, but if you are a manufacturer and you are interested, please send me money. I've done a lot of consulting in the hunting vest world for one reason or another, maybe because I'm just a gear geek. That kind of stuff really gets me excited, especially improving the stuff that's out there. I've worked on 5 or 6 different vests over the last few years, and in fact, that's how this all kind of came to fruition today. I guess I would call it doing a shakedown cruise on one of the vests that I have worked on and learned a lot more about how it was working, getting it all dialed in for this chucker season. And it reminded me that I haven't done what I promised to do so long ago, and that is talk about all this stuff. Then I took it off and it fell to the ground with a big clank because I realized I'm probably worth more on the hoof with that vest on than anything else. I figure about 15 pounds worth of stuff in there when you consider all the ammo and the water too. And I'll get to all of that in a minute. But first off, let's talk briefly, because this will be the subject of another podcast and probably an article at findbirdhuntingspots.com. Style of vest. You know, if you're going out for an hour or two and the weather is temperate, almost anything works. The classic, you know, kind of fishing vest style, which is, you know, which is was the impetus, by the way, when Lee Wolf looked at that. But anyway, that kind works great. Strap vests, if you will, that are out there from all sorts of manufacturers all work fine. But if you're going for more than a few hours, and if you have special needs because of the weather, then you might take a look at some of those more serious and well-designed engineered vests that have shoulder straps and a waist belt. I hope I can cover that later on in the podcast, but for now, those are the things I think that are probably most important if you're going to be carrying a lot of water, for example, or if, and I never have to worry about this, if you think you'll be bringing home a lot of birds. Okay, so strap vest, probably. Any vest for a few hours, sure. So, number one, what's in my vest? Really, I'll say what's on my vest. I tether almost everything I have to the vest in some way. So I like a lot of D-rings and loops and buckles and all sorts of things that I can attach, lanyards, stretchy, stringy key ring things and all of that, those key back things, all of that. I like to attach stuff, and here's why. A buddy and I were in the middle of nowhere in Southeast Oregon many years ago, and I had my GPS. At that point, it was just an e-collar. It was before GPS collars. Wow. Took this long to learn that lesson, I guess. But we were up there sitting on a boulder, relaxing. I got up to take a picture of him and me, set that e-collar control down on the boulder. I don't know, got the picture, I think, but we walked away and left that controller there, and as far as I know, it's there to this day. If you find it, it's probably, the batteries are probably dead by now, but if you find one up there, don't hesitate to reach out to me, I'd appreciate it. Now, my collar controller is attached, my whistle is attached, my camera is attached. Everything is attached. All right, let's go through the pockets then. These are things that are probably not attached through a lanyard or other device, a tether of some sort, because they're in a pocket that closes, and hopefully we remember to close the darn thing. Number one, a survival kit. In Boy Scouts, we called it the 10 essentials. It's probably about 12 essentials in mine right now, depending on how you count this stuff. But I have that list already at the website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. Just go to gear and gadgets, one of the categories, and you'll get that list, and you can fine-tune it however you want. But most of the stuff in there is in there so that if you break your leg, you can live through the night, and hopefully you'll also have your personal locator beacon, your spot or your InReach or something like that. Or if you're lucky, you have a cell phone that actually works wherever you're hunting. And you can call for help and get a ride home on a helicopter. But none of it matters if you can't survive the night. So take a long look at that and see what happens. In that survival kit is a photocopy of the map of the area that I'm hunting. I don't need to carry the whole thing, especially some of those big BLM maps. They're like 4 or 5 feet square, but I can make a picture of the part that I'm going to be at, fold it up, put it in the survival kit along with the compass, and generally be able to find my way out or find some of the stuff I'm looking for. You do know how to use a map and compass, right? That's on the website as well, at least enough to get you out of the fix you're in by finding what I call, well, what Map and Compass guys call a catch line. You want to learn about that, go to findbirdhuntingspots.com as well. Trying to make life easy on you with all the stuff that you might need to have a good time in the field with your dog. Which leads me to the third item in there. A little bag full of stuff just for the dog. Yeah, I know most of it probably could be in your survival kit as well. And it might be. And it might be all one big bag. But if neither of them are so big they get heavy, then you'll probably still take them along. Again, that list is in the is at the website. You can buy one. It's got some first aid stuff. It's got a little bit of everything else in it. I carry it everywhere I bring my dog. It's small enough. It's portable enough. You can actually put it in a pocket if you need to. I've used it time and time again, not only on my dogs, but on other people's dogs as well. Never forget Buddy, 3 wire hairs ago, jumped over a berry bush, only got halfway. Then he was hanging from the top of a hidden barbed wire fence that was in that berry bush. I lifted him off, couldn't find anything, put him back on the ground. He hunted the rest of the day. As you might know, I'm colorblind, never saw the blood. Hey, I love that. Right outside my door. That's nice to hear. And maybe we'll work it later today, me and Flick. That'd be a great birthday present, wouldn't it? That's a valley quail, by the way. I made the mistake of leaving the window open, but that's all right. Anyhow, so Buddy hunted the rest of that day and couldn't leave that spot alone, kind of his inner thigh. I took a look at it, and there was about a 2-inch triangular slice out of him. Lucky the skin was still there. With all the stuff in my dog care kit, I could get him doctored enough to the point where at least we kept it clean and we kept it from going bad on us, getting infected, until I could get to the veterinarian the next morning and learn how to use a surgical stapler. I don't carry one of those in my kit, and I'll tell you why. A couple reasons, and if you have any suggestions on this or you have arguments otherwise, love to hear from you. ScottLindenOutdoors@gmail.com, or just go to the website and hit the contact me button. I don't really want to close up most of the wounds that I find, because then they just become havens for germs and infection, and the doc's going to probably take it apart again anyway. If you got the right other materials in there, you can bandage it well, close it up to a great degree. A lot easier to clean out afterwards as well. So think twice about that surgical stapler. Plus, I've had more than one veterinarian tell me that about half the surgical staplers they buy, and they buy them preloaded with, I don't know, a couple dozen staples, half of them don't work right. So if you've tried one and it's failed on you, it's probably not technique. It's probably equipment. All right. In addition to all of that, one more cutting implement. I've never had it happen. I hope I never do, but I've seen them in the field, and those are those snares. You know, the snare kind of a trap that a lot of guys use. They use them on bigger fur bearers like raccoons and even coyotes, for that matter. Your dog gets caught in a snare, you are in deep kimchi. I carry a set of Dykes with me in my vest. Yeah, it's another, 6 ounces of weight, but what's 6 ounces of weight to save your dog's life? You may not know them as Dykes. You might know them as side cutters or wire cutters or something like that. Just take a heavy-duty pair along with you so that you can actually cut that wire. It's like a cable kind of a style of wire, and most multi-tools will not do it. So carry yourself a pair of side cutters as well. Now, water... pardon me. Water deserves its own podcast, but for now I'll just kind of lay out my philosophy on all of this here in the West in particular, but even in the East, if you're going out for an all-day hunt, and let's call it earlier in the season, you're a rough grouse hunter and you're out there right at the very beginning of the season. Leaves are still on the trees. It's nice and balmy. Well, for your dog, balmy is killing temperature. You got to keep your dog hydrated. You got to keep yourself hydrated for all sorts of reasons. I'm not going to bore you with all that. I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'm just going to tell you, the more water, the better. Everybody's happy when they go through a lot of water throughout the course of the day. Now, your dog may be able to find some here and there, especially if you're somewhere in the Northeast where there are streams and brooks and that sort of thing. But out west in the desert, especially when you're hunting desert birds, or even in the upper Midwest when you're chasing Sharpies and Huns, for example, there are no water sources. So you become the water source. It is a burden. Yes, literally and figuratively. Your dog will be counting on you to keep him hydrated, safe, and healthy. So make sure you carry plenty. And that's why I recommend the right kind of vest. If your vest is engineered right, you'll be able to carry a lot more water. I'm carrying at least 128 ounces, I think. I take it back. 128 ounces on almost every hunt. And if I have to, I'll get back to the truck or we'll find the one water source and I'll refill all that stuff in the middle of the day if I can. Try to keep it topped off. There are a lot of ways to carry it. I'll go into those next time around when I'm talking about the vest itself, but carry a lot of water and make sure that you're offering it to your dog frequently and you're taking some in yourself frequently. You know, most of the time, what you think is fatigue in a human being is dehydration. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here so that I can have a little water, and then we'll get back to what's in my vest. We've got all sorts of other things to talk about as well. Still to come, the Handle It segment and the This Land Is Your Land segment. So hang tight because I've got to take a quick gulp of my own water and then a few messages. Let me just remind you, Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food, the dog food of choice here at the kennels at the Linden household, 30% off your first order. Just use the code UplandNation. I've talked all about all sorts of other things that you carry in your vest. I do carry treats and I do carry some food as well because once in a while a dog won't go for something else and you need that. But anyway, Dr. Tim's energy-dense foods are easy for your dog to digest, and that becomes even more important on a warm day, for example, or on a long trip, and formulated to meet your dog's metabolic needs according to his activity level. And if you want to have some fun, go to the Dr. Tim's Facebook page and take a look at some of the puppy videos out there. It's all at drtims.com. Tell Dr. Tim Hunt, I sent you. And he'll probably be able to hear you quite well because, like many of us, he is taking good care of his ears in the field and at the range. ESPAmerica.com is where you learn why they are my hearing protection devices of choice. Electronic shooter's protection. Not just some guy who's decided that hearing aids are a good idea. No, these are for shooters. And Jack Homa knows of what he speaks. 100% custom fit means wall-to-wall protection, all-day comfort, and your choice of colors. Block out all the harmful noises like gunfire, and you won't be able to make excuses like, oh, honey, I didn't hear you tell me to do that chore. So it's all at ESPAmerica.com. Handle It is the name of this segment, and that's because I'm trying to save you a little bit of trouble, showing you what I did wrong so you don't have to learn it the hard way. Let's talk a little philosophy. I know dogs and philosophy maybe don't go together, but they do if you think about how dogs learn and how we teach. Dogs learn differently than we do. They learn in kind of a linear manner, if you will. So keep that in mind when you're teaching new skills or when you're adding on to the skills they know, for example, from a normal retrieve to a blind retrieve, or from a single to a double, or from a point to a back. All those things need to happen in a logical progression. Don't skip any steps and don't go right when you should be going straight. Put yourself in your dog's place and imagine what he's seeing, how he's reacting to the stimuli out there, and then anticipate what he's going to do next. If you are one step ahead of your dog, you'll probably be able to take care of all of those infractions, if you want to call them that, before he infracts. I doubt that's a word, but I just made it up, and I'm going to take credit for it from now on. All right, watch your dog carefully. Think about how he thinks. Preempt the bad stuff. Guide him to the good stuff just by watching and thinking about how he thinks. Thank you to the folks at Cabela's for sponsoring our Handle It segment. Okay, so water. Did you get the message? Carry a lot. The easier it is for you to carry, the more you're going to carry. And believe me, you cannot bring too much. In fact, your buddy will be grateful for it. I can almost guarantee it. And we're always sharing out water with everybody else's dogs as well. So have enough to share, as they say. You know, did you bring enough for the whole class? Yeah, I did. Yes, ma'am, I sure did. I also like a dog lead. You know, there will come a time for safety reasons of all sorts that you need to leash up your dog. Now, I generally carry a small one. I think it's called a sidewalk lead in many catalogs. Sometimes I don't even bother with that. You know, the freebies the veterinarian's offices will give you once in a while, those really cheapo, plasticky kind of things. Those, they weigh nothing, and they stow anywhere. Carry a lead of one sort or another, whether it's to keep your dog away from other dogs or to keep them out of the road, or to keep him close to you when you're both resting and panting after that hard climb up to the top of the hill for a sage grouse. Carry a lead of one sort or another in your vest. Okay, obvious, yes. Ammo, all right, plenty, yes. But not so much. I mean, think about how much you're really going to need. How many shots are you going to take in a day? And the reason I tell you that is because I'm reminded of the very first chukar hunt I ever took. It was with a neighbor who was a great guy. I mean, how many times is a veritable stranger, except by virtue of the fact that he lives three houses from you, going to say, hey, that's a bird dog. You know that? Yeah, I just started. Blah, blah. Well, why don't you come with me? I'm going chukar hunting this weekend, blah, blah. I said, okay, great. We drive to the spot. We get out and I start dumping shells into my brand new vest. And I said, how many should I bring? And he says, oh, more than that. And so I take out another box, put that one in there. He said, yeah, you better bring one more. So by the time I was done, Bill had convinced me that I needed three boxes of ammo. And then I said, well, should I load up? He said, oh, don't bother. And he points virtually straight up the hill and says, we are not hunting till we get to the top. Then he smiled, started laughing, told me to dump out most of that ammo. Now think about that. Be strategic about your ammo. I don't know any time when I've not been able to get back to the truck in the middle of the day and replenish my ammo supply if I ever needed to. Okay, you're carrying a GPS of one sort or another. Mine's in the the dog collar thing. I got, you know, the combination and it works great. Love it. Whether you're using that or something else, bear in mind sometimes some of those cell phone-based ones may not work. Some of them do because they're not relying on a cell phone signal. But whatever you do, bring a GPS on top of everything else, if for no other reason than mine. In one of those other faraway places in another time zone where it is, one of the darkest places in America because there's nobody there. I was at the end of a long, long day, and I knew my truck was in the next draw. So one more vicious climb all the way up, scrambling, hands and knees in places, gun in my teeth, just so that I could get to the very top and look over, and damn it, somebody stole my truck. We're in the middle of nowhere, and some bad guy came up from Los Angeles and stole my pickup truck out of that draw. Well, after getting that off my chest, I realized might not be the right draw. Well, anymore, I don't worry about that because the truck is marked very carefully on my GPS, and I always know how far I am from it, and I always take that GPS with me. So avoid your own stolen truck story and the embarrassment it brings that night at happy hour by using your GPS for all the things that it can do. Follow your dog if you need to, find your truck, and then have some fun with how many miles you walked. Don't forget to multiply that by 2 when you get back to the tavern. Whistle. I carry a whistle around my neck and on a lanyard. And a few good luck charms are attached to that as well. But I don't yell much anymore for my dogs because I'd rather use a whistle. And just for good measure, in my 10 essentials is an extra whistle. It's been used by any number of hunting buddies over the years. Never had to use it for myself in a survival situation. Yeah, that's wood I'm knocking on, and thank goodness for it. Dogs are like humans in a lot of ways, so in one of the pockets of my hunting vest, I will have some of my own dog energy bars. Don't need a lot of that, but I do bring some of that along with me. Your dog may like something else. There's a risk of what we all call low blood sugar. It's got other names. The veterinarians will use something else. But primarily, you want something with a lot of fat content and very little volume to it. That's why I like these dog energy bars. A little chunk is all it takes to give your dog some quick energy in the field without filling up his belly and causing all sorts of problems with performance and safety. So bring something for the dogs, and maybe for yourself too, but don't confuse the two, believe me. Don't ask how I know that. Oh, yeah. They're really for carrying dead birds. And if you don't have room for dead birds after you have all that other stuff in there, you might want to take another look at your vest and see if it's really well designed enough for you. And then pet peeve, and I've told people in positions of power, thanks for the gear. Why do I have to be double jointed to stick a dead bird in my vest? Or worse yet, ask my hunting buddy to stick the bird I shot in my vest. If you don't have a vest you can reach into, then that thing needs redesign, or you need to buy one that I've helped consult on. So take a look at your vest, make sure there's room for birds, and make sure they're easy to put in, and then take out for that picture at the end of the day. Yeah, don't leave home without it. That's my, I guess, catchphrase for the day. All the stuff in your vest. There's a whole bunch of other optional items that I can get to. I'll have this whole list at the website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. Just go to the gear and gadgets section of the website, and there's all sorts of helpful stuff in there. I'll cover some of the other more specialized stuff, or if you have suggestions to add to the list, please do contact me at the website. And if you find that transmitter up there on the slopes of Pueblo Mountain, don't hesitate to send it back. I'll put new batteries in it. Hopefully, it'll still work. Okay, so with that, let's talk about some of our other sponsors right before we get to This Land Is Your Land. That is all about public access, and it's coming up right after this. Gunner Kennels. Learn more at gunner.com. Just got my new orthopedic pad. Well, it's technically, I guess it's for Flick. Although it's soft and firm enough, if you get the drift, it's kind of memory foam-ish. I'd sleep on it if I had 6 foot worth of it. And 4 feet wide, I roll around a lot. Anyway, Gunner Kennels and all the accessories there. Gunner is the only crate to offer built-in stainless steel tie-down pins. The rest of them, their pins fall off on impact. And Gunner has patented exclusive door features that make sure your dog is contained. There's, I think, three different ways to secure that door. And if you got a clever dog, I don't. If you got a clever dog, those will come in handy. All right, it's all at gunner.com. Get on the mailing list, and every once in a while, you'll get a special offer from them. Save yourself some bucks. And as always, free shipping at gunner.com. The Tone and Beep Duel. That's Dogdra's latest entry in the training and notification, I guess I'll call it, collar category. My favorite. I put both of them on flick at the same time, one on the neck, one on the flank. If you'd like to take a look at what they have to offer there, and by the way, there is a single version, so you can save yourself about $150, just a single one, and then when your wife gives you permission to get another dog, you'll have the other collar all ready to go, and your first dog will be steady to wing shot and fall because you've used them both on him. Get the 10% off discount by using the code SLUN10 at checkout. And if you're buying anything over $200, shipping is free as well. Thank you again to our sponsors. They give us the time and the resources to bring you this podcast. This land is your land, at least most of it. And luckily, there are all sorts of places to go, free, open to the public. Just buy a license and lace up your boots. This feature is brought to you by findbirdhuntingspots.com, where you can win a shotgun, sign up for the mailing list, and you might be getting a call from me at some point. I know it's a little bit early to talk about fall at all, especially late fall or early winter, but some of these destinations are on my short list already because I got to plan ahead, you know? What's the fun? I love planning almost as much as I love going. In Texas, it's a little bit tougher to find publicly owned ground or ground that's available to the public to hunt birds. One spot is near the town of Tilden, the James E. Dotry Wildlife Management Area. That's pretty far south, about 90 minutes from Corpus Christi in the Gulf Coast. Another spot worth a look is the Las Palomas Wildlife Management Area in the lower Rio Grande Valley. If you're going that far, South Padre Island is close, and in the wintertime, that might be just the incentive your lovely spouse needs to go along with you and let you take one more bird hunting trip. All right, the Upland Nation podcast with me, Scott Linden, as your host, is brought to you in part by Huron, South Dakota, where the pheasants outnumber people. Learn more at hunthuronsd.com and espamerica.com, where you learn all about hearing protection, electronic shooters protection, ESPAmerica.com. So glad you could join me. I hope you learned something about stuffing your vest. Maybe what to bring, but also what not to bring. That ought to be a fun one. I'll try and put that list together next. Please tell your friends. Please offer up a rating or review at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever else you listen. Would appreciate that a whole bunch. I'll get to some other stuff regarding gear and that sort of thing. But in the meanwhile, if you'd like this list again, it'll be up at the website, findbirdhuntingspots.com, very soon. Please check it out. And like I said, please sign up for the mailing list. You're so kind. Please tell your friends. Hope they'll listen as well. And in the meanwhile, our leashes are getting longer by the week, but that doesn't mean you can ignore your friends, your family, and your dog. Give them some attention. Train hard. Hunt easy. Thanks for listening.